Good morning, everybody. You doing okay? Okay. I hope you're doing okay. Hey, we're going to have fun. In fact, I thought that I would start the sermon off by trying to get us all riled up and frustrated. Huh? Yeah? So that's how we're going to try to go about doing this. If you're not already frustrated with the weather or the name of this series, let me take you there. Before we get frustrated, I'm going to end up taking us to a place in the Bible called Matthew chapter 6. If you're new to that, it's the second part of the Bible, and it's right when we get into the story of Jesus. If you'd like to look ahead and get there, Matthew 6. Now let's get frustrated. Let me show you some things. This is great. So I looked at some of the federal government spending. And so in 2023, there's many things you can look at, but one of them is what's called improper payments. So according to 2023, the government did $236 billion improper payments. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, it's broken down here that overpaid groups of people, businesses, or things, just flat out overpaid. Most of us do not have this problem of overpaying. But I wanted you to see this because that's your tax dollar. That's our tax dollars. Yeah. And in fact, if you get into the weeds, you'll learn that some of that money is money that was swindled and lost, and they don't even know if it was over or underpaid. They just can't account for it. Huh? Yeah. Let me show you Pentagon. This was fascinating. You probably have heard these stories before. The Pentagon needed to ship two washers from, in this case, one time it was from South Carolina to Texas. So the Pentagon spent $998,798 to ship two washers from South Carolina to Texas. Had I known, I would have volunteered to walk it for half that price is what I would have done. I would have been like, just so you know, if you want to know if this is a one-time incident, it's not. The government needed to ship one washer this time, from South Carolina to Florida, shorter span, so it only cost just under $300,000 for us and our tax dollars to ship a washer, not a washing machine, a washer. In fact, you can even find the value when you study this stuff is that last washer, I believe, was valued under 20 cents. There's got to be better ways to spend your tax money and mine. Some of you aren't quite frustrated enough yet. Don't worry, we'll get there. The government gives out grants, if you don't know this. It gives out grants to lots of different places, oftentimes to universities. Georgia Tech University was doing a study. See, what was frustrating some of the students at Georgia Tech was, I don't know if you're familiar with this guy. This is Thanos. Thanos is a... It's not real, for those of you who are like, not real. So make-believe, comic book character kind of guy. They're wondering, so in one of the movies, Infinity Wars, he snaps his finger with this, and I'm sorry if you're a fan, but let me just get really blunt here, with this metal glove, okay? He snaps his fingers, and all of a sudden a bunch of people vanquish and everything, like it's all gone. Well, the university was like, we don't know if that's possible for you to snap your fingers in a metal glove. Now, most of us are like, right, it's make-believe, right? So they got a federal government grant for nearly $119,000 to study if Thanos could really snap his glove. They determined that he could not have done it for real, which we know because it's make-believe. It's not already. $119,000 to come up with that answer, something that you knew. You could have been like, I could have told you. So you get frustrated about some things, about money. You do. I do too. My goal is not really to get you super mad at the government. Most of us, we're already there. So you're like, I get this. In fact, this is what's leveraged in election seasons, right? This might have actually been one of the reasons you voted the way that you voted, maybe it was in regard to finances, and that's how you made your decision and locked on to things. And And you wrestle with this because not only if you see the government waste your money, if you see a family member waste their money, it frustrates you. If you see a workplace waste money, if you see your church waste money, it begins to stir something up. And what I'm going to try to get you to is I think you're going to agree with something, but you need to agree because this is a big deal, why we're talking about it. Financial decisions are spiritual decisions. They all are. Whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, they are spiritual decisions. So if you've ever found yourself thinking about money in ways like, why do I think about it so much? Why do I get frustrated if I don't have enough? Or why do I get frustrated if someone wastes it? Why do I care about what the government does? And you might say, well, you care about your tax dollars or you care about this or that. You get bothered if someone swindles money, steals money. If you didn't know this, why you're so frustrated by it, there are layers to it. And I would tell you the core layer is what you are built to know is it is a spiritual decision. Anytime you ever do anything with the dollar, it's a spiritual decision. Now, I'm not making this up. This is not David's opinion hour, okay? Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth. The Bible flat out says that you and I, one of the ways that we are to honor God, like you might say, well, be nice to people, say good things, pray, talk to God, serve God, sacrifice for God. Yeah, notice, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. In other words, what you do with your wealth is a way to honor God, which makes what you do with wealth a spiritual decision. It means that when you are choosing what to do, what not to do, and all that kind of stuff, you are making a far deeper decision than many of us give credit to. We know the frustrations of it. Deuteronomy 8, this will mess with some of us. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. According to the word of God, according to God himself, you only have money because God allowed it to happen. Which means if God gives it to you, and other scriptures say that God actually still owns it, God never relinquishes ownership of the money that he's put into your hands. And then how you and I honor him with it and spend it is all about God, which means you and I, we should probably talk about stuff like this. If what we do with money is a spiritual decision, when we gather as a church trying to focus on God, if we avoid it, what does that say about us? In fact, I'll tell you why we're avoiding it. What's the most challenging conversation you could have? A survey was done. Thousands of people. What do you not want to talk about? They were asked. What's one conversation that's off limits? Interesting what's actually at the top. Most of us are trained when you you go be with family. What? Don't talk about politics and religion. We would rather, statistically, talk about death with other people than personal finances. So if right now you're frustrated at the government or Pastor David or whatever you are, and you're like, oh, I can't believe we're talking about this, guess what? You're in good company that you think we shouldn't talk about this. It's not going to change my mind, though. Would you like to know why? Whether you ask now or not, I'm going to tell you why. Let me show you how we're doing with this. Finances is one of the main drivers of anxiety nowadays. In fact, if you really want to just really study this, Gen Z, if you're in Gen Z, listen up. But if you are raising someone or around someone in Gen Z is one of the major sources. They say almost the number one source of anxiety where they think about it, are consumed by it, want to get more of it, are not sure how to manage it. It is a major driver. So all you 1 in 6 Americans have bills they can't pay. 1 in 3, if they had a $400 surprise expense, let's say for random, this is totally hypothetical and definitely didn't just happen a couple weeks ago, where there's a nail in the side of the tire, not on the tread, it's always in the side, it's always in the side. I don't know who's doing this, but stop it, it's always in the side. And all of a sudden you're like, we didn't plan on this. According to this, 1 in 3 of us has a major issue if you have an all-wheel drive vehicle. You catching this? Okay. If you just based on statistics, science, and the reality of things, what Scripture says, that one of the main core sources of worry is money. One of the main frustrations is worry. Something that drives even how we vote for our leaders, money, money, money. We should talk about it. And that's why we named the series the way we did, The Almighty Dollar. Because either you serve the Almighty Dollar or you serve the Almighty God. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But remember I told you in the beginning we'd get to Matthew 6. You're like, when you get into that part, we're at that part. Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, this is financial talk he's going into. Jesus. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So he's talking about supply, what they need. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? By the way, if you're curious what the next verse is, that's a rhetorical question. It's saying that you can't add more time to your life by worrying, and specifically talking about your resources. So the follower of Jesus, you know what the follower of Jesus does? Recognizes that even though it's offensive, we talk about it. Financial decisions are spiritual decisions, which means God cares about how we steward money. Now let me remind you, because I'm talking about this all throughout the year, about stewardship. Stewardship is a refusal to waste what is in your hand. If everyone ever says, hey, you should be a good steward, or that, it's about, are you refusing what you have, refusing to waste it? It can be about time. I mean, it can be about all kinds of things of what you can steward. It can be if you're a parent, are you stewarding that time well? But in this case, God has put money in your hands. You may not like the amount. That's talk for another time. You may not like how much is there. But it is a spiritual decision to look and say, am I going to refuse to waste this or not? Now, word of the year is light. It's not changed. Some of you are like, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about being the light of the world this whole year, and now you're talking about money. We must bring light into darkness. And what I'm concerned about, can I tell you what, I'm concerned about? I'm concerned that Christians think bringing light into the darkness has more to do about throwing the Bible down at people's faces rather than living it out themselves. And my concern even goes into this. Do you know that finances are one of our greatest opportunities to bring light into this world? And I'm talking about like, not about what you give away. That's a part of it. But how you actually use money is a way to tell the next generation how to use money, which means you shine light on, look what God's given us. Here's how we're going to do it. This is why I love that many people actually care about the debt that we're going to hand off to the next generation. I love that that conversation is up. But what you need to know the heart of that is we want to hand them something great that they can use better than we did. So your own personal finances, it's a gift to the next generation. So we've been teaching our kids how to use finances. And it's not been a fun conversation. We use the three-jar tactic. It's Scripture lays this out. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you look at the Bible will talk about three main categories of what to do with money. One is you give some of it, you save or invest some of it, and you spend some of it. It's not complicated. So like with Bo, who's five, or he would like to tell you he's 5 and a half. That's a big deal to him. So Bo's 5 and a half. We talked to him about this thing and about how to use money. And so he recently made a purchase, big deal. He bought a little UPS delivery truck. And it's a huge deal because now he wants a USPS one. And he's building his whole system here. And so he's super excited about how he spent money. Now also, and I got permission from him, Bo for this last year's Christmas offering, for the Shine offering, he gave $4. And we as parents were like, I mean, he came up with the amount. It was like, I think it was what he had in his pocket or something. But he's like, this is, he dumped it all out, there you go. And you got to know, not long after, he regretted it completely. Feel like, as pastor, I should be very forthright with you. And when he found out that he needed another $3 or $4 to get another car that he wanted, he's like, can I have that back from Jesus? Is Jesus using it yet? Right. So you got to know that these are tough decisions. Right? Isn't money tough? Money's tough on saving it and giving it and spending it, and you got all these tough stuff. And so, all I want you thinking about is we have multiple kids, but we have a 5.5-year-old, and I want you just thinking. Don't say it out loud. Do you think that Katie and I, as parents, should teach Bo the best way to be a good steward of money? The answer is hopefully yes. That we should do that. That it matters. It matters what Bo does with money. It matters what Bo does with money now as a 5.5-year-old. Because when he's 55.5. He's going to really care if he was ever taught about what to do with money. And did he, in fact, spiritually speaking, you know what we're teaching our kids? I'll show it to you. It's in the Bible. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, what you speak and what you do it all, every bit of it, not some of it, do it all, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is straight from the Bible. You see this. Whatever you and I are doing, anything, it doesn't matter. Whatever you and I are doing, we're supposed to be doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you go to Matthew 5. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What I want my kids to know, but I also want you to know, that whatever you do on planet Earth should be done to honor the Almighty God. And one of the ways to do that is to shine light, which one of the ways to do that is to look at the money that God puts into your hands and say, am I doing that with God's money? You're going to have two main challenges, two substantial ones according to Scripture. Trust and management. So this is just a two-part series for those of you who hate talking about money. This is going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be mostly painless. Mostly. Trust and management. Another way to say trust and management is to use different language like this. Trust. I will do what God wants or I won't. It's a submission, obedience kind of language. Do you actually trust God? Now, many of us are like, yes, to free me for eternity, to be in freedom with him. Like, that's good. Yes, I trust him with my soul. Cool. Do you trust him with a dollar? Because God says, do this, do that. So when you think about, do you actually trust God, let's table the salvation conversation and come to a little bit of an easier one of just what's in your bank account. Will you or won't you manage that the way God says to do it? It's a trust factor. Then there's the management part of I can or I can't. Basically saying I have the ability to or I don't. We'll talk about that next week, this week. Let's go after trust. In fact, if you don't want to talk about money, let's talk about something very simple. Are you willing to trust God? If I can do anything in your life, I would love to share with you the word of God so that you would contemplate, do you really trust God? Do you really trust him? Not do you want to. Do you really? Will you or won't you? Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, if you fully obey the Lord, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, all of them, man, that word all just keeps being everywhere. All his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. This is Old Testament being spoken to the people of Israel. Obey all of God's commands, that you and I are supposed to obey all of his commands. Now, sometimes we're like, well, that's so Old Testament. So let's go to Matthew 28. Where Jesus in the Great Commission says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last week, oh my goodness, that was awesome. We're right in line with this. This is going well so far. And teaching them to obey everything. We'll pause for dramatic effect here. everything. Not some of the things that you find easy or that seem palpable. To obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission. This is what's charged to you and I if we're a follower of Jesus Christ. Not only are we supposed to be a disciple, we're supposed to make disciples. And one of the core tenets of that is that we obey the commands of Jesus. So you might be asking, did Jesus ever talk about money? Great question. Let's see. Yeah, he did, a bunch. Jesus said, two masters is a horrible idea. That's my wording. Let me show you his. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. Some of you have experienced this at work. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know what he's saying there? Is that you can actually serve money, the almighty dollar, or you serve the almighty God. And I love how Jesus puts it out there, like, which one are you serving? Because if you're trying to do both, you can't. Jesus said, money management is a trust test. Yay! Right? Luke 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, notice this is not just some random, you apply this however you'd like to, about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Which means, and I don't know if you knew this, from the moment you got your first birthday money, from the moment you got your first allowance, your first job, remember your first job? I remember my first job. It was horrible. I hated it. I delivered papers. And it was my job to not only deliver papers, but then to go back in the afternoon and collect. If you ever want people not to answer the front door, be a collector of some sort. But that was the only way I got paid. Hated the job. I remember my first job, but I remember my first paycheck. Think about this. Are you willing to know that you're in a trust test? Every time you make money, every time it ever crosses your hands, it is God going, do I trust you? Can I trust you? Are you trustworthy? Jesus said, protect yourself against greed. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, some of you're not reading that right. Let me help you. Watch out. Be on your guard. See, some of you read that. Oh, David just read a verse on we're not supposed to be greedy. Good thing I'm not greedy, right? You're like, hey. That's one thing I'm not, is I'm not greedy. No, you know what that just said? It actually charged you and I to not only not be greedy, but what is your protection mechanism to keep you from being greedy? It just said that you and I are not only supposed to not be greedy, is that you and I are supposed to actually be working at not being greedy. We're supposed to have a security system that keeps us from being greedy. So if you read that right, what you and I should be challenged to do is, do I have things in play right now? What do I do right now? What actions could I back up with? How could I prove to someone that I am not only not greedy, but this is what I do to keep myself from being greedy? That's what that just said. Meanwhile, we have a lie we hear all the time. More whatever will remove my worry. This will help you clue in on, are you greedy? Because many of us don't think we're greedy, but we're also at the same time thinking, if I just had more, then I wouldn't have any worry. And if that were true, if more were the answer, that means every rich person lives the most incredible life here on planet Earth. Which you can do your own research. They actually say the more wealthy you are, the more responsibility you have, the more things you have to manage, the more stress you have in your life, and the more concerned you are about your money. They also have surveyed people about pay raises. I don't know, maybe you think if you got a pay raise, you wouldn't have any more worry. They say it takes 3 months for the fun and happiness of your pay raise to wear off. 3 months before you're like, yeah, I need another one. Jesus said, our heart follows our treasure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now you got to read this one right, because if you read in other versions, it talks about that there's treasure and there's your heart. Here's what most of us think, is that we give out of our heart, that we're like, okay, I've got a heart, and so if I just have a good heart, then I'm gonna do things in a good way. No, that's actually saying you put your treasure down. Wherever you put it down, your heart follows it. In other words, greedy things, money things, all that, is not necessarily what you're in the mood for, like some of you right now, talking about money. You're like, I don't want to do this. It shows you that according to Scripture, that if you wanted to actually get your heart right with this, you lead your heart with money. You put the money down first, and your heart will follow that. This is why what we buy, we all of a sudden start to care about. Let me give you an example. Interlink Electronics. Never heard of them till this sermon, ever. I was searching at different companies you can buy stock in, and I tried to find one I had never heard of, and I thought maybe you had never heard of before. Interlink Electronics. I'm not giving you any investing advice. I feel like there should be a disclaimer in this sermon somehow. I'm not giving you any investment advice. But I'm gonna infer here that you don't know of this group. They make like touchpads and computer mouses, mice. I don't know. Anyways, they make that kind of stuff. So you don't know about them. I don't know about them. And who cares? However, if this week you bought some stock in them, you would immediately move from I don't know who they are, I don't care who they are. But if you bought stock in them, you'd be like, I'm going to watch them now. I'm going to watch them. I care about them now. So Scripture's telling you. If all of a sudden you go from not caring to caring, oftentimes it's because you put your money there. And as soon as you put your money there, your heart's all about it. Pay attention to where you put your treasure, according to Jesus. Now let's go to a heart thing. Jesus said, sacrifice is necessary when it comes to money. Now, some of you, you're concerned. Oh, this is where he closes the deal. No, this is not where David closes the deal. There is no deal to close. But I do believe this is a core lesson that Jesus taught. Mark 12, we pick up Jesus, sat down in the opposite place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. If you're not catching on. So people are going to church. Jesus is outside watching people go to church, not only go to church, but put money and watching how much they give. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Then watch what he does. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Now, mathematically, you know that's not accurate because it's stated there. That's why you and I are given details. Mathematically, that's not accurate. But you see, you and I, especially as Americans and especially as American Christians, often think about not sacrifice. We think about amount. He's not going there. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And so many people misinterpret this scripture. Oh, I see what you're saying, David. Jesus wants me to give away everything I've got every week, all the time, so I starve. No, that's not. In fact, I don't think that Jesus gathers up his disciples and they're watching people give, and he's like, you know what she gave? And they're like, you know what, that's between her and God. No, he's like, no, it's not. This is between all of us. So he says, here's the deal. So here's what she gave, and here's what the others gave. And their minds are blown. And you might misinterpret this as he's saying, so this is what you got to do. You got to give everything you got all the time. I can tell you what I believe happened. I think Jesus saw the widow do what he was going to do. She gave everything she had out of a love for God, which makes John 3:16 make sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I think Jesus was sharing the gospel with the disciples and saying, did you see what she just did? She just gave out of everything she had. She gave the last. And I think he was pointing to, I'm going to do that for you. And what he was teaching them was, if you're going to follow me, it's a sacrificial way of life. If you look at the original Christians, the way that they spent money, managed money, saved money, invested money, it had everything to do with the kingdom of God. They didn't buy certain things and they bought certain things. They gave in certain ways and they didn't give in certain ways. All because of God, because they knew it was a spiritual decision. So like I said, we've been trying to teach our kids this, and it's fascinating that every kid's been exactly the same on this specific matter of sacrifice. You and I okay, let me help. I'll leave you out of this. I don't enjoy sacrificing money. I like to buy things. I like financial security. I get mad when we have to buy tires because I have the conversation with Katie. We were just about to get ahead, right? Those kinds of things. And you get so frustrated. Okay, so every kid, I test them, and it's fun. We go to the movie theater, and I've shared this story many times. We go to the movie theater. I buy them candy, and it's so unhealthy, but don't worry about it. But I buy them candy. We sit there, and then right when as the previews are starting, I go early because they're going to yell at me. This is how this is going to work. So we're there early enough, and every kid, I'll say, hey, can I have some of the candy that I bought? They didn't buy it. I bought it. Can I have some? Every kid turns me down. Every kid's like, no. So Hayden did this. No. Ellie did it. No. Titus did it. Not only did he say no, I was wise enough at that moment to bring my camera out and I filmed it. And he was screaming in the movie theater at me, no. Like, you aren't getting my candy, even though I bought it. So I thought, well, we've got one last kid. So we went to the movie theater. I bought him the candy he wanted to have, and I videoed it for you. This is going
to
be fun.
You want to share with me? Here, let me have all your candy.
Oh.
Huh?
How cute is that face?
You don't need any candy, do you? Here, I can have it all.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I want.
Here, I'll take it.
Here, let me have your candy.
No.
What?
No.
Where is it?
I'm not telling you.
You're not telling me where your candy is.
I swallowed away.
You threw it? You liar.
I'm kidding.
Guess what I have?
What? No.
I can't wait to have all my candy. Oh.
Don't take that anymore, okay?
What'd you say?
Don't take that anymore.
Take what?
This. Don't take it.
Well, you're not sharing?
Every kid. Every time. And if you don't know this, and I'm looking at you with loving eyes, you wrestle with the same thing. So do I. What God has put into our hands, are you a good steward of it? And one of the ways to be a good steward of it is, are you willing to actually give any of it back to God? Are you willing to put it in his hands? So like I told you, there's no deal to close with you, okay? You take your hand off your wallet or your purse. Listen, what I want to leave you with is a week-long conversation to have with the Almighty God. Will you or won't you use money the way God says to use it? Will you or won't you pay attention to what God says about money? Because it's a spiritual decision. I'm not going to get into your finances. No one's going to not be allowed to be at this church or anything. No. This is a spiritual conversation that I think has to be had if the light of Jesus Christ is going to be spread all throughout the rest of this world. You and I have to come as close to our own personal finances and say, will I or won't I put this into God's hands? That's your homework for the week. Next week, we'll go after that can I or can't I talk. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks for putting stuff as close to home as money in the Bible. God, thanks for teaching us how to actually do life. Lord, I think so many of us, based on statistics, are worried about money, frustrated about money, consumed with thoughts about money, wondering where to get more or what to do with what we have. God, the cost of things are still pretty high. And Lord, many of us are wondering what to do and how to do it. So Lord, may we be the kind of church, help us have open hearts to you, to say to you, whatever you say, God, whatever you teach, whatever is right, we'll do it. God, help us to be a light to the world through the money that you've entrusted us in our hands. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.